The book of Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 8. As I mentioned the other week, I'm in the book of Genesis for my quiet time, so you'll get a few more sermons out of the book of Genesis, I'm assuming. What a wonderful book, I'm telling you. No wonder it's the first book of the Bible, and it's the foundation. And as I was meditating here in Genesis chapter 8, just a few thoughts on our Heavenly Father and how much He cares for us. And how we as fathers and fathers-to-be, young men, by faith, one day you will be a father. I'd like to encourage you to store away whatever import you can gain toward that end. Here in Genesis chapter 8, let's read verses 6 to 8 and then we'll pray. Genesis chapter 8, verses 6 to 8. The Bible reads, "And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth." And verse 8 reads, "Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground." Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we're so grateful for the opportunity to worship this morning. Please teach us, encourage us, Lord, help us to set our affections upon things above. Help us to set aside the cares of this present world, the distractions. Lord Jesus, help us to set our affections upon Thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Noah and his family have just come through a universal pandemic where all the living outside of the ark had died. All the living outside of the ark had died. This included men, women, and children, land animals, creatures, and birds. We are told that the waters abated for some 150 days from the time that God stopped the waters. There in verses 2 and 3 of this chapter. And then we are told that the ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat. So as the water decreased, as the waters decreased continually, Noah was preparing to exit the ark. He was preparing to exit the ark. He was preparing his way out of this pandemic. He was preparing his roadmap out of this pandemic. Now, what roadmap did he take? How did he go about it? He was cautious. He didn't want to leave the ark of safety and place his family in danger. So what does Noah do in preparing to leave the ark? The Bible teaches us in verse number 6 that he, first and foremost, he waits another 40 days. He's not impatient. He waits another 40 days. Some 150 days have passed where the waters have slowly but surely abated. So verse 6 tells us that he waits another 40 days. And then in verse 7 we are told that he sends a raven out. scout out the land. But this raven doesn't return. The raven is an unclean animal from a biblical perspective. So he sends this raven out of that one window he had built. That raven doesn't return, and then the Bible teaches us in verse 8 that he sends out a dove. A dove is a clean animal. And as we read in verse number 9, it reads, "But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth." So Noah sends out a raven. The raven doesn't return. Then he sends out a dove, and the Bible teaches us the waters still covered the earth. And the dove returns. The dove returns after some time to Noah, because the land was still covered by water to a measure. How did Noah respond to this dove that returned? That's the essence of my message this morning. What can we learn from this that will help us to value our Heavenly Father who cares for us? And also, as we study Noah and how he responds to this returning dove, I trust it might help us as families, as parents, as fathers, to lovingly care for our children. As we note how Noah deals with this dove that returns to the ark. So study with me this morning. How much does God, our Heavenly Father, care for us? More than what you and I could ever imagine. And fathers, may I challenge you on this Father's Day, you are the link. We are the link of reflecting to a measure our Heavenly Father. Note how Noah responds to this returning dove. The first point I want to make, note then verse number 9, that upon the return of the dove, the Bible teaches us in verse 9 that concerning Noah, then he put forth his hand. Then he put forth his hand. I see here first and foremost that Noah takes the initiative to offer his assistance in order to help this dove back into the ark. He was ready. He was available. No doubt in sending out the dove, he was on the lookout to what would become of the dove. The raven didn't return, but the dove did. The dove did not have to beg Noah to extend his hand of help. Nor could the dove beg Noah to extend his hand of help. Noah was ready. Noah was available to assist the dove. And my friend, this morning, in the same way, God, our Heavenly Father, is ready and available to be a very present help in time of need. In Psalm 46, verse 1, the Bible reads, "God is our refuge and strength." And note the second part of this verse, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. Our Heavenly Father has extended His hand of salvation to all mankind in the person of Jesus Christ, who dealt with sin, the sin of the whole world, through His broken body and with His shed blood. And God proves this love by extending the hand of salvation to all mankind, providing forgiveness and eternal life to all that will repent and by faith receive the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God is the initiator of salvation. God first loved us. And all of God's people said, amen to that. God first loved us. And because God loved us first and foremost, we can love God. For God so loved the world. And there is one mediator between God and men, the man of Christ Jesus. His hand is extended to you and I in the gospel. My friend, this morning, God is a loving God. Our Heavenly Father is a loving God who has extended His hand of salvation to all mankind. And it comes in the form of the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And for every man, woman, and child that will obey the gospel, they can be spared from God's wrath. They can be spared from God's judgment. The reason why every living thing died outside of that ark, because they rejected the ark of salvation. And my friend, today, if you will reject the ark of salvation, you will die in your sins and be turned to a place of everlasting fire from the presence of Almighty God. And you might say, oh, Pastor, where's loving that? There's loving that because God is just. God is loving, and for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to redeem you from your sin and to give you everlasting life through repentance and through faith. And the Bible teaches us that Noah put forth his hand. He took the initiative to offer help and assistance to that dove as the dove returned to the ark. And that's our Heavenly Father. What a wonderful God we serve. That's why Hebrews 4:16 teaches, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our Heavenly Father is ready and available to help. To help you and I first and foremost concerning this issue of forgiveness. And for those of us that have experienced that forgiveness, no matter your heartache, no matter your pain, no matter your struggle, our Heavenly Father is a very present help in time of need. Fathers, this morning, I'd like to encourage you. Take the initiative in showing your children that you care for them. Noah extended his hand to the dove. Instead of crying out for attention, which the dove had little capacity to do, Noah had any right to be heard, Noah extended the hand. And fathers, I'd like to encourage you to show your children that you really care for them. Instead of them crying out for your attention, take the initiative. Extend your hand of help, support, encouragement. Talk to them. It's okay for a father to talk to his children. Oh, I thought that's what mothers do. Yes, they do. thank God for them. It's natural. But fathers, we need to work at it. Read to your children when they're young. Oh, but Pastor, I thought that's what mother does. No, father needs to do that as well. Play with them when they're young. Help them when they have a problem. Give them time. Show them grace. Ephesians 4:32, be kind, tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, that includes our children when they let us down, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Fathers, don't crush your child's spirit by an unwillingness to forgive them. When Simon Peter was drowning there in the Sea of Galilee, the Bible teaches us in Matthew 14:31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. So we see within this little passage of scripture here in Genesis chapter 8 that Noah put forth his hand, took the initiative to offer his help and support to this dove on her return. But also note then verse number 9, please. Look at verse number 9. The Bible reads, he put forth his hand, and the second portion of that verse goes on to read, and took her. And took her. In extending his hand to the dove, Noah repossessed this dove that had left the ark, that he had sent forth from the ark. He accepted the ark, the dove, upon her return. He didn't reject her because of unfulfilled expectations. Be careful, fathers, of rejecting your children based upon what you expect of them. Be careful. You'll crush your child's spirit. Noah didn't say to that dove, you failed me. You failed me. You should be ashamed of yourself. No, Noah extended his hand. Took her. Noah didn't reject the dove upon her return or charge her as a failure. Noah no doubt took the dove at face value. No doubt the dove tried to fulfill her mandate but wasn't able to, so she has returned to the ark. My Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, charity believeth all things. We don't read that Noah was skeptical. Then what have you been doing? Have you really been searching for dry land? Or have you really just been sitting on top of the ark and waiting a time and then to float back down? We don't read that Noah questioned the motives of the ark. Say amen. Amen. That is love. That is love. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. Noah did not question the efforts of the dove. But when that dove returned, took possession of the dove once again. God, our Heavenly Father, accepts us in spite of our performance. The Bible teaches us in John 1:12, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. We are accepted in the beloved. Note there in Ephesians 1:6, please. Quickly, Ephesians 1:6. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted. God, our Heavenly Father, accepts us in spite of our performance. God loves us with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31, the third verse reads, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Aren't you grateful, child of God, that your Heavenly Father loves you with an everlasting love? I'm thankful for that. In spite of my performance, at times I'm sure it disappoints Him, but He still loves me. Now, fathers, our children, they're all different. Have you noticed that? They're different. Same parents, eat the same food, breathe in the same air, receive the same training, the same experience, and yet within a household you have children that are different. And the reason why each of our children are different is that they are uniquely created by God. And they will differ in their gifts and in their abilities and their likes and their dislikes and even in their personalities. They will differ. And even in their mistakes they will make. Some will make bigger mistakes, some will make fewer mistakes, some will make fewer mistakes but really big ones, or some will make lots but lots of little ones. They're all different. Our children are all different, just like you and I are different. Yet God loves us. And our children need to know that we love them no matter what. We might not appreciate what they do or don't do at times, but our love for them needs to be settled. It needs to be unconditional. And just like Noah took her, we need to make sure that our children feel accepted because they're our children. End of story. We might not appreciate some of the things they say. We might not appreciate some things they do, but they're still our children. So be careful, parent, of only accepting your children based upon their performance. Performance-driven acceptance. Of course we say, "Oh no, Pastor, I'm not like that." But you know that's not true for most. We want our children to perform a certain way. We want them to go up and be and become the most intelligent creature on this side of eternity. We want them to be the next Lou Armstrong that goes to the moon. And we want our children to be a brain surgeon so we can boast that my son's a brain surgeon. Or my son's a garbologist. Or my son's a psychiatrist. Psychiatrists have mental problems, believe me. Anybody that wants to be a psychiatrist, they've got issues. Be warned. Be warned. Read my lips. And especially for those of you that come from an Asian culture, be careful of driving your children to fulfill what you want them to be. You want them to be a brain surgeon.
You want them to be the next treasurer of Australia. You want them to be whatever. That's you. And in that, you are rejecting your child. And you are placing a weight upon the heart of your child that will produce a measure of rejection. Because if I don't meet up to mum and dad's expectations, if I don't get 552 out of 500 in my HSC, I'm a failure. If I can't play the piano like Mozart, I'm a failure. If I don't go to New South Wales University, I'm a failure. Be careful, parent. Those sort of expectations will drive your children away from you. Accept them, love them, because it might not be God's will for your child to be an astronaut. It might not be God's will for your child to be the treasurer of Australia. That's what you want, because you're proud. And you want everybody to ask you, so what are your children doing? Well, one's a scientist, one's an astronaut, one's a psychiatrist. And you want to feel good about yourself. But may I remind you, parent, children are a heritage from God. And every child has been given certain gifts. So be careful of trying to put your child into your box. You'll destroy the child. Yes, you will. Noah extended his hand. Noah took possession of the dove. I mean, go back to Genesis chapter 8. What else did Noah do for this dove? Well, Noah put forth his hand, took her. Note the next little phrase, pulled her in. So Noah, in extending his hand, took possession of the dove. Then Noah pulled her into the ark. He rescued her from possible future danger. He provided safety for the dove. He became a refuge for the dove. He does for the dove that which the dove cannot do on its own. For a dove is defenseless. Where could she possibly go for refuge outside of the ark? And my friend, God, our Heavenly Father, extends His hand of help in time of need. He accepts us though we are weak and though we fail Him. But also He is our protector. He is the one that provides a shelter in a time of storm. We can rest under the shadow of His wings. The Bible teaches us that Noah pulled her in unto him into the ark. Unto him, unto who? Noah took the dove unto himself. Into the ark, that place of safety. See, God is our refuge. We can run to Him in time of need. And He will provide that protection and that understanding. Quickly, Psalm 62, please, verse 7. Psalm 62, verse 7. Psalm 62, verse 7 reads, "In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge. And my refuge is in God." God, our Heavenly Father, not only extends His hand of help, He accepts us, but also He's our protector. And fathers, may I remind you that you have a mandate from God to be a spiritual leader within your home. And part of that leadership element is that you need to provide protection for your children. You need to be one that provides a setting where your children feel at home and they feel safe and they feel accepted and loved. Authority is one of God's means of protection. God has ordained the home as a means of protecting our children from evil. And my encouragement has always been for children to stay under the umbrella of authority within the home. I don't like this idea of moving out of home before you're married. You want to move out of home, get married. Amen. That's Bible. Read your Bible. Genesis 2, 24. A man shall leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and they become one flesh. So you young people, it's spiritual to stay at home until you get married. You want to leave home? You want to pay rent? You want to pay electricity? You want to buy your own food? You want to iron your own clothes? You want to clean your own house? You are stupid. You lack common sense, let alone spiritual outs. God has ordained the home to protect the child. And young person, if you're keen to leave home, get busy, fast and pray, and for a spouse. Amen. That's God's will. Because in the home there is protection. It's spiritually wise to stay under the authority of your parents until God leads you, provides a spouse. And then, God bless you, pay your own rent, pay your own electricity bill, buy your own food, cook your own food. If you bother, wash your own clothes, iron your own clothes, clean your own house, clean your own mold. It's spiritually wise and it's financially prudent. Young person, let me tell you, those of you that are at home, listen to me. Listen to Pastor. You are stupid if you leave home before getting married. That is a dumb move. It is not only unscriptural, it is financially stupid. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Now you know what I think. Let's read on in Genesis chapter 8. So Noah, what did he do? He extended the hand, took her, pulled her in. And note verse 10, it reads, and he stayed yet other 7 days. Upon the dove's return, she re-entered the ark, where she rested and was refreshed. We are not told how long she was outside of the ark for. We don't read that Noah criticizes the dove or sends her back out. But he welcomes the dove back into the ark and does what is needful to refresh her before she is sent back out. And I'm so glad that our Heavenly Father is not driven. I'm so glad he doesn't drive us into the ground. For when we are weary, he accepts us and he promises to renew our strength. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How can we as fathers provide that rest and refreshment for our children as they endure this wicked world? Well, let me encourage you to support them. Make sure you're there to support them. Talk to them. Pray with them. Counsel them. Be up front with them. Oh, but Pastor, I might offend them. Good. Your children every now and again just need to hear it straight. And you know what? They will love you in the long run. Oh, they'll rebel. Look, if they rebel, they've already rebelled. Amen, Pastor. That's a good point. They're already rebellious in their heart. Your children, my children, need to be refreshed and strengthened. Sometimes it means that we just need to sit them down and let it out.
So Noah accepts the dove. But Noah's refreshed for 7 days. And then note that at the end of verse 10, the Bible reads, he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. So after a time of rest and refreshment, Noah sends the dove out once again. God, who loves us, cares for us, protects us, refreshes us, has a work for us to do. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And parents, mothers, fathers, it's a blessing to be a parent. It's a blessing to be a father. And the Bible teaches us that children are gifts from God to us. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. Psalm 127, the third verse. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And verse 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So Noah received the dove, accepted the dove, pulled her in, provided safety and protection, refreshed the dove. Then after a time, Noah admitted that I have a mission for this dove. So he resends the dove out. He recommissions the dove. And this time the dove fulfills her mandate. In verse 11 it reads, and the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. Parents, our children are like arrows. And parents are likened to the bow, the archer and the bow. An arrow has purpose. An arrow needs motion. An arrow can have impact. And if the tension is right, the accuracy is in place, purpose will be fulfilled. There will be motion. There will be impact. And parents, we need to train our children while they're under our care, so that one day they will go forth as arrows from the bow of our home, full of purpose, with motion,
and making an impact on this world for Jesus Christ. In our children getting married, we want them to establish a family unit that will raise a new generation of arrows for God's glory. That's God's will. So the dove came back with an olive leaf. This dove had purpose. Noah sent her forth. And may we on this Father's Day value the care that our Heavenly Father has for us. And may we be challenged as fathers to be that godly role model before our children. Fathers, how we treat our children as fathers will affect how our children view God. It will affect how our children view God as our Heavenly Father. Fathers, we need to swallow that pill. And see that what a wonderful opportunity I have as a father to reflect my Heavenly Father by extending my hand of help, by providing acceptance, by rescuing, providing protection and safety, by refreshing, renewing. And instead of keeping my arrows in the pouch, arrows are not meant to stay in the pouch. One by one, they're to be taken out and release. Not two at a time, one at a time. I told Daniel the other week, you're staying here for the time being. I have two arrows out there in the big blue yonder. I've got one more arrow. I need to invest in this one so that when it's his turn, he can have impact upon this world for Jesus Christ. Happy Father's Day, fathers. And for those of us that are in Christ, isn't it wonderful to have a Heavenly Father who extends his hand to us, took her gently. Doves are very delicate. So Noah took the dove and pulled the dove into the ark for safety. It's safe here, my dear. It's okay. It's a nasty world out there, but it's okay in here. In my hand, you're safe. And then he refreshed her, fed her. And then eventually Noah sat the dove down and had a serious chat and said, "Mighty dove, I've got a job for you. I trust you feel equipped. I trust you feel safe. It's time for me to send you out with my blessing." The dove didn't hassle Noah and say, "Noah, let me out." No, the
dove was quiet at home, being at home.
But it was the Father, it was Noah said, it's time to send you out. That's parenting.
May God help us to reflect our Heavenly Father by our love and care one for another. Let's bow for prayer.